Well, I'm going to consider once again the final chapter of Isaiah. Just looking at verse 10 to 13. The Lord says, "Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her." We ought to remember that in the final sections of Isaiah, the prophet has foreseen the time when Jerusalem, the holy city, would fall. Because of her wanton idolatry and unfaithfulness, God determined that Jerusalem would be attacked by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, its people carried away, and yet Isaiah also beholds the return. "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion." And clearly at the time of writing, or to the people to whom Isaiah is particularly thinking, there is a mourning for Jerusalem. Do you ever wish, like me, and I do this all the time, you lived at a different point in history? Now, it's ludicrous really, because if I went back in time, I'd have been a chimney sweep or a slave or something like that. But in terms of the Christianity in our country, it's a time of mourning. We are here and we're able to meet. Let's rejoice in that. But there are not many of us, are there? Now, a few Sundays ago, we were full. But we're only full because the government won't allow us to sit closely together. There would have been a time when the chapel would have been genuinely full, but we're not. And there are churches which are full. But I'm afraid they cause me to mourn as much as many of the empty ones, because the gospel of Christ, I don't think, is always preached. And yet Isaiah, speaking to those who mourn, says, "Rejoice with Jerusalem." He is able to see the time when this fallen city is restored. Now, I suspect that the Jerusalem which is being foretold here is the one actually of Revelation 21 and 22. Not just a physical city in Israel which would be restored when the Persians allowed the Jews to return. Although that city was rebuilt, you might recall that when the temple was rebuilt, the older people wept. They continued to mourn. And Nehemiah, when he had to persuade the people to build the walls up because they weren't for it. Haggai said that when they were living in finer houses themselves, the temple, they were quite content to be a ruin. So in one respect, it was fulfilled when Jerusalem was physically rebuilt. And yet there is a time coming when Jerusalem will be more than a pile of walls and stones over in Israel, but it really will be the final state which we will enjoy. And perhaps like me, you look at the church in our nation, and they're not all bad, but a lot of them are. And like me, it might cause you to mourn. And those who see that great city now are mourning, and yet Isaiah says, "Rejoice with her. Be glad with her, all you who love her." Why? Because the future will be greater than the present. So always worth remembering that if you're found in Christ. If you're not in Christ, the present is probably the best you're ever going to have. What a sorry state of affairs that would be if that's all we had to look forward to. But let me assure you, in Christ, your future is better than your past and much better than your present. And in the next few verses, we have this wonderful theme of birth and delivery, which were spoken of in the previous verses, developed further. You may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom. You may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. And if Jerusalem is soon to be or has become a barren waste, Isaiah says, look beyond that. It's one of the great mysteries of the faith, is it not? That God is outside of time. So he can behold the past and the future and the present. It's no difficulty for him. And God urges us here to, if it were possible, behold the glorious future that God has in store for Jerusalem. We may not see it. We may not see a church triumphant. But it will still happen. Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. The Gentiles have not been especially friendly towards Jerusalem. They have surrounded her. They will knock her down. They will burn her temple and carry off her people. And yet the day is coming when the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream shall extend to her. Then you shall feed. On her sides shall you be carried and be dandled on her knees as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And if previously we were told of a time of birth which will occur, which will happen. Verse 9, shall I who calls delivery shut up the womb, says your God? No, is the answer. Well, here we have the picture of a small child being loved and played with, comforted and fed. The people who are reading the prophecy may be at their lowest ebb. But our hope, our joy, our comfort is not found in how well our lives go now, but in the promises of God. If you are happy because your life is just how you want it, you will not be happy for long. Because you are born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. The sun shines today, but it will hail tomorrow. I met a couple of relatives on Monday up in Cumbria. We thought we'd go for a picnic. It was very sunny. They're very old-fashioned. They got the blanket out. We had the strawberries. It was lovely. And then it snowed. I've never had a picnic in the snow before. And we were 2 miles from the car, So there was no point packing up, and the British spring is fickle. It soon stopped and the sun came back. But so are the circumstances of every life. Things are good today, they'll be bad tomorrow. They're bad today, they might be good tomorrow. It's constantly changing and altering. And that is why your happiness and your joy and your hope is not based on what is happening now, but on what God has promised will happen in his word. And here he has a picture of Jerusalem, in which she receives the peace of God like a river, in which his people are fed, upon which his people are carried, on which they are dandled on her knees like a child. They are comforted by God himself, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Our God is a righteous judge, and he will come to deal with iniquity and the rebellion which so characterizes our planet, our culture, our nation. And yet, for those who would be his people, he offers so many wonderful promises of future blessing, that in fact by believing in them, we obtain current blessing. So I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted. Amen.